Gab will let it in a moment, and then we're going to go to a very different form of, or a different format, which we'll probably be doing for some time. Representative Richardson, did you want to gavel in your committee also?
Yes, we'll gavel in the House Committee on Health Access.
All right.
There you go.
This is a room which we spent a lot of time in a couple years ago. When I say we, I talked about some of the members here at the DS, and of course, Senator Westland. At that point, he was the chair of the committee, as he was in the majority party, and I was in the minority party, and now I find myself once again in this room, and he's still in the majority party. I don't know how he keeps doing it. But here we are, so. Yes, incredibly
amazing.
Clearly so. Is this echoing to people? Is this too loud? Is it okay? Is it a little too loud? Okay. I'm getting thumbs up and down. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, just okay? All right. First, I want to apologize. When we set this up, being who I am, I forgot this is Valentine's Day. And any of you who have other duties tonight within the 50 to 60 miles from here should leave right now. Okay. And as long as you're not on the committee. JL, you can leave. Okay. JL, you're a young married guy. It's 5:15. I expect to see you out of here at 5:19. Okay. Because I don't want to be visiting you in the emergency room later tonight because you've had bodily harm to you because you got home at 8. Okay. So those of you who feel you need to leave tonight, you feel free to do that. I already mean that. Go enjoy your family life, and if you need to get home, you get out of here. Don't feel bad about it. One meeting is not going to end the world, but not being home for Valentine's one night might. So feel free to get out of here.
Actually, we're going to talk about JL tonight. So.
Yeah, in fact, we'd like to have you leave, frankly. I'm going to gavel in this a work session. We're going to talk about adopting the guiding principles. I think most of it have you before you, a piece of pizza plus the guiding principles. We've tried to amalgamate these into one. Staff's done a good job. We added a few more pieces to it. And I don't know if we need or people feel they want to go through each one of these or not. I'll leave it up to what the committee wishes to do. I've read through these pretty carefully, and I'm hoping that others have also. Is it the will of the committee that we go through this one by one and read the lines, or is it comfortable to simply adopt them as they are printed before you?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I don't want to rush us through anything that's important as these are, but I do think the committee has spent a great deal of time with them, and I also think it's important that as we go forward, it is possible in our explorations and our crafting of the healthcare reform policy that these should be viewed as flexible, although good guiding stars. So if there's not any objection from the committee, I would move we adopt the guiding principles for the Senate committee as indicated on the February 13th, 2007 document in front of us.
Do I hear any contradictions of that? Any concerns?
I have a question about process, and I'm sorry you may have missed
this.
Did you gavel in a work session for the Senate committee, or did you gavel in a work session for those of us who are sitting at this dais?
Work session for the Senate committee.
Okay. So
any of the guiding principles for the Senate committee on health care reform, and we're not asking you to adopt them for your committee, obviously. Hearing no objections, then I will assume that we are accepting the guiding principles for us to refer back to at a later time. I'm going to gavel us out of a work session. I will now continue the meeting of the special Senate Committee on Health Care Reform.
I will open an informational meeting.
We are going to go forward with a little different way of doing things tonight, and what we want to do is try to make this a little more informal. We want to have a free give and take. We want to be able to really start talking about some of the more important issues in front of us. We are very easily distracted and can get into a situation where we constantly talk about what is wrong with the system, but we want to focus ourselves on what the structure of that system should look like and not what is wrong. One leads the other, obviously, but we're going to try to focus the structure tonight and maybe for the next few nights if we don't get to where we need to go within one session. To do that, we're going to ask Dr. Goldberg to be our facilitator tonight. We're going to slightly change how we deal with questions and how we deal with discussion. Most of us are used in our caucuses that if you wish to make a statement, you raise your hand, someone jots it down, and we go, when your name comes up, that's your opportunity to ask a question or speak. And that's the process we're going to use tonight, too. You don't have to go through the chair. You don't have to wait and be recognized by the chair. We don't need to go through all that. But we want to have an opportunity to have sort of a free-roaming conversation about this. And I'll keep track of who's got a hand up, and I'll write your name down, and then when your name comes up, you can ask the question or make the comment. So having said that, I'm going to turn this over to our facilitator, Dr. Goldberg, and he is going to expertly lead us to a quick conclusion of what the new healthcare system will look like in 5 minutes or less.
I thought we were going to do it in about 10.
Oh, okay.
But we'll try for five. One, really happy and honored to be a part of this. Two, I think there could be no better day than to start this on Valentine's Day. Because we really are not just talking about the policy, we're talking about the sort of heart and the passion. And I think what we're here about is a couple of things. One is, how do we get a healthcare system to work such that it meets the guiding principles? And secondly, how do we operationalize those guiding principles and come out of this with a bill that does that? As I look around the table, I've been involved with now just about everybody, some over a month or two, but many over many years, in the same meetings with the same discussions talking about the same problems. And I think what our goal is to do is to not keep talking about the problems, but to start to talk about some of the solutions. I think the other role is to try and not get too bogged down in many of the details. That's why we've got two flip charts. This is for the one we'll be working from, for some of the ideas. And the second one in the back that we'll have, we can use for a parking lot. So that when issues come up that need more discussion, they need more detail, we can put them over there, come back to them. Because my sense is that oftentimes we get very caught up in the details. And I think what the co-chairs have looked for in this is to have this be a free-flowing sort of iterative process. We can keep coming back to where we started, but we shouldn't get bogged down when we should really operationalize what we're doing, with the goal being if we could come out of here with a consensus of what a bill would look like to operationalize those principles. How does that sound as a roadmap to what we're going to do?
Perfect.
Sounds good to me. I'll just mention one more thing. For those of you who might want a snack, there's pizza over here. Please help yourselves. Okay, I forgot to mention that earlier. There's no trans fatty acids, and there's no calories. So,
no, it keeps you young, restores your hair, and it's great.
Yep.
With that, I think those are pretty much the ground rules. I don't know if anybody has anything to add. Great. So what I would propose we do is, having spoken about the principles that you've all just adopted and thinking about how we would operationalize them, thinking about a bill and understanding that there is a bill before you, Senate Bill 329, which is the skeleton to work from. The issue is, how can we start to sort of methodically go through each of the major subject areas in that and talk about how we would make those real, what that would actually look like from the words to actually the descriptions of how it would happen. And where that bill starts is with a structure of a board. It starts with a board. If we're going to have comprehensive health care reform, if we're going to have a system which works by all these principles, It's not going to happen by itself. It's going to need some sort of a structure. And the first piece would be to work through not the membership of that board, not when it's going to meet or how many people or what geographic locale, but what would some sort of an oversight board look like in terms of role and function? What would its role be? What would its function be? And we can start to work our way through that. If we get through that, we can then move our way through the other portions of the bill.
Senator Morissette, you have a question?
No, not at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd just like to make a comment. Maybe kick this off with a vision or a statement of belief. This is unto myself. But I really believe in markets. And I believe markets behave almost perfectly. And we today, you know, we have almost perfect markets in healthcare. That they do what we have incented them to do. It's why we have 9 MRI machines in Bend. We've incented the market to allow that utilization. It's why, and these aren't bad things, but it's why hospitals build more cardiac wards and cancer wards than they do mental health and drug and alcohol beds, because we pay for that. The market is really working pretty well under the terms and the conditions of the market. And I see our challenge here as helping through this board, setting the sideboards to the market and incenting behaviors and goals we like and disincenting those we don't. We need to allow, you know, the markets to work more efficiently to provide health care more efficiently. So that's kind of what I'd like to open up with and where I think part of where we need to go.
We can't see that.
I know. I can't even see it. That's
a highlighter.
But the audience can see it. It's great.
We call that transparency.
Comment on what Ben's saying.
Well, that's good, because we need to have fun while we're doing this.
Representative Richardson.
The market concept is under a larger category, which is cost containment and sustainability. You know, because part of what we want access, you know, proper access, because you can have all the benefits of the world, but if you can't get the treatment, it doesn't do any good. It needs to be quality access. It has to be affordable. And affordability isn't just can we afford it this month, but do we put something in place that will over time be sustainable, which means essentially cutting down on the scope or the graph of increase. And so that's under cost containment and sustainability. And so how do you do that? Well, one of the areas is that you look to what factor increases cost, and it's incentives. It's the market works. I mean, you know, if you have, so we could talk about patients who have no stake in the outcome. So what do they care? Whether they have a generic drug or the most expensive drug. If somebody else is paying for it, it doesn't matter because they have no involvement. So I just wanted to add, too, I agree that market is a huge influence, and it's under this heading of cost containment and sustainability, I think.
Representative Greenlick.
Yeah, we have a market now. And as you suggest, Senator Westland, or as other people have stated, a system will produce exactly what it's designed to produce. So we're producing what we designed to produce. But there are two options to dealing with that, because the market's not giving us what we want to get. What we want to get is wrong in at least four different sets of dimensions. So one thing is to put a sideboard around the market, but the other thing is to is to substitute other things for market forces in their own right. And, you know, for example, the question is, the reason we have all those MRIs is we pay for them on a fee-for-service basis. So the question may not be to do sideboards. The question may be, do we want to use traditional market forces to organize a healthcare system? It seems to me we need to leave that at least as an open question. It's not saying sideboards around the market. It's trying to say, how do we structure a system to achieve what it is we want it to achieve? That might leave room for market forces, or it might not. But it seems to me it's, how do we change the structure of the healthcare system?
Combination.
Yeah.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. For fear of offending anyone on this board who has spent a lot of time working on this from the top down, I want to start from the bottom up. But you've already been, some of you have already talked about the bottom up. I'm talking about the foundation of our existing system. We have fully capitated health plans. We have dental care organizations, chemical dependency organizations, mental health organizations, physical care, physician care organizations. We have the COHO covers the state with, you know, a lot of organizations. We have very successful health clinics throughout the state. We have 100% access in Lane County. We have a system. We will use the existing system. We will use the existing system if this is to be successful, and we will ask them for their advice. How are you going to be plugged into this? How are you going to receive compensation, just compensation for what you're doing in terms of mental health care? So the system is there, and I just want to say that at some point, well, we must continue to examine the components that have been building up quietly. 100% care access in Lane County is a great system, and there's a lot of volunteers involved. There's a lot of coming together involved, and that's going to be the glue that holds whatever we're trying to do together. Now, how we're going to pay for it is another interesting thing. Using existing funding, making some tweaks and so on, but I don't see us inventing a new system. It's there. How we utilize the components, I think, is what's important, and we have to spend some time inviting people in, telling us what they're doing. We have to do an overlay of the state to find out which parts of the states are lacking access, and we have to make sure they have access. So I think we're doing the right thing. I think we're on our way, but I just don't want to forget about the foundation, which we don't talk about enough.
I think the plan is to, over the next month or two, is to bring exactly those people in around a lot of different issues. But I think the question is, this is where I get to see how good a facilitator I am, is we've all, I think we put actually in 10 minutes, we haven't solved the problem. So we failed there, but what we have done is we've put probably a good half to three quarters of the issues that we all know about on the table. Markets, cost, affordability, transparency, sustainability, incentives, 100% access, utilizing what we have. And then the question still is, how do we take some of that? How do we take some of these ideas? How do we create a structure to get at what we really mean, and how do we operationalize, what do we really mean by cost containment? How do you get that to happen? What is transparency? How do we get at that? We could spend a couple of meetings on transparency and what that means and how to make it happen. Before that, can we spend a little bit of time around, how would you structure a board, an oversight of to be certain that all this happens?
I'm sorry, go ahead first.
Yes, that was his original question, and that's what makes me so frustrating. Been here, done that, heard that. And your very first question was, what should the board look like, and none of us addressed it.
Well, you all definitely avoided it.
You avoided.
Okay.
Number one, what would I like the board to look like? There has to be some kind of healthcare expertise. Who that is, I don't know. We have to have some kind of financial expertise. And then representatives of, and that's what, where, I mean, it could be a whole list. But though, I just want to start that conversation because I think we need to know what is the board going to look like.
But that's the membership, and I'm going to actually try and move it in it before we get to membership, because I think membership is really important. And first we have to know what it does. Then we can, then I think we'll, it'll be an easier conversation to think about who are the right people to carry out that role and function. So we'll keep those up there, but.
Yes. In providing what services are basic health care.
Okay.
Or to establish what is, what care we're going to provide. Is that?
That's fantastic.
I'm going to drop back just for a second about where we're trying to go here. The present system we've got is grown up almost by accident. It's a result of a lot of forces, employer-based insurance, a whole lot of things we're not going to spend time on tonight. But it's really, in many ways, an accidental system. And while, admittedly, it's a system, and since there's money involved, it's a market, and it works a certain way, it has not produced the outcomes we wanted, we've talked about tonight. What we're really talking about here, I hope, is that how we give some guidance to the system, finally. Because without some guidance, we're never going to get there. So what's the structure that will allow us to give some guidance to a system that is just really an accidental system, but at the same time maintain a market so we can have some market forces involved, but still some guidance to go in the right direction? We know what some of those things need to be, preventative care, maintaining people in long-term illnesses, all those things. But before you get to that level, you've got to decide how you want that guidance to occur and what kind of a structure you want to have that guidance. From that, I think you jump directly into what Senator Mons Anderson is talking about. If you know what that structure should look like, that will tell you who has to be on that board, which is really a huge and vital question.
So I heard one of the functions, correct me if I'm wrong, was to help define a basic health care.
Mm-hmm. And I've got three people who want to speak, maybe four now.
Okay. I just want to be certain, define what it was and figure out how to deliver it.
Let's go through it real quick. Representative Maurer.
Thank you. I think that the only way and this health board is going to function is if it has authority. Without authority, absolute authority, it is going to go nowhere. And ultimately, that authority is not about saying yes. That authority is about saying no, the capacity to tell people no, whether it's through formularies, whether it's through best practices. But there are just ways that this is a feeble attempt unless this board has the absolute statutory authority to tell people no.
Point taken.
Okay.
You're right.
I've got an explanation point around that.
Senator Morris.
Thank you. I would echo the comments of Representative Mara. And if I might try to tie this back into the market and the board, I had the good fortune of meeting with the chief financial officer of Taiwan's Bureau of Health Insurance over the holidays. I was visiting family in Taiwan and took the opportunity to go up to Taipei and spend an hour with him and his chief planner. Taiwan has experienced over the last 12 years a 5.71% increase in healthcare costs. And they have a cost of living that's very comparable to Oregon. And their cost of insurance is less than $900 per person per year. They have a very high satisfaction rate. They don't have any queues. But what they do have And this may sound strange coming from a real market-driven guy, but what they do have is within this Bureau of Health Insurance, they have a very strong authority to do exactly what Representative Maurer is saying. So either we, and it's probably a combination of both, either we limit utilization by rule, which is authority, or, and it's probably more and, we find ways of changing the structure of the market and the incentives for healthcare providers so that it's a combination of essentially limiting utilization, because that's what we're really talking about. We cannot be all things to all people. We've said it's unsustainable. So how do we do that? We do need, I think, change the structure of the market. There are some things we can do in that regard. But this board needs to have robust authority in order to make this work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Morris.
Dr. Bates, can I respond to that particular comment?
Yes.
I'll keep it extremely short.
Okay.
And the point is that the funding drives the delivery model. And so, however, when we say no, that means the dollars. And so we're going to incent different things. And so the access system, the delivery system will mold itself around the dollars that are available. And an example is, very quick example is, in hospitals. In 1985, my first wife was admitted to a hospital, the Brooke Army Medical Center, San Antonio, and she went into a 20-bed-plus open bay ward. In 1985, she was there for over 6 months in her treatment of cancer. And 20 years later, we would not comprehend these open bay wards. We build hospitals with single patient rooms. And so the only way you're going to ever get change that has a huge cost associated with it. The only way you're ever going to change that is to go back and give this body absolute authority to say no about what is acceptable care. And it may not be to the consumer's standard that they may have been accustomed to, but and it's unfortunate, but we may not be able to go further than we are today.
Thank you. Senator Representative Greenlink.
Thank you. Bruce, I'm confused by starting with what a board should look like.
Okay.
I mean, it seems to me we need to start with what it is we're trying to put in place. If, for example, all we have is a health insurance system, we gather up money, mix it together, and then pay out AHPs or pay out providers directly or do something like that, that has one nature. That board is a particular kind of board. If what we're trying to do is to take over all the hospitals and put them into a state system, and that's what we decide we want to do, then the board looks very different. It's a board that runs hospitals, and that has a very, and I'm not suggesting that's what we want to do, but what I'm saying is, if that's the nature of the system, then the board looks very, very different than this board that's a health insurance board passing out money. If it's a board that creates access or runs healthcare, other kinds of healthcare facilities, or regulates healthcare facilities, then it's a different, I mean, regulates the healthcare system, then it's an entirely different kind of board. And it seems to me it's very hard to talk about what the function or the nature of the board is until we talk about what's our vision of whatever this system we're trying to create is. Is it basically a health insurance system? Is it a health insurance system with that's going to regulate private health insurers? Are we putting in place basic system changes? Are we changing the nature of hospitals? I think we have to start with saying, what is it we want Senate Bill, what's the number?
329.
I have enough trouble remembering House Bill numbers. So.
We made it shorter for you, Mitch.
Yeah, I know, but it's a function of age.
Well,
I mean, it seems to me it's very hard to say what's the nature of the board.
Take that the next step for a second. What do you think the bill is doing?
Well, I would start by taking those six steps in that thing we looked at and say, let's put meat on the bones that are on there. I mean, where are we going to get that money? And is there going to need to be a health fund that manages the money? Is that where the board is? are we going to do something at step six, the relationship between accountable health plans? And I mean, are we going to, for example, say no more fee-for-service in this world? We're going to capitate everything, just as we almost said that with OHP. I mean, there are all these elements in the that I think we need to talk about in the system, which then will say, I expect there's going to be more than one board. And I expect there might be a health insurance board to manage the pooling of money, and over here, a board regulating or managing or providing services on the health system. I guess in two or perhaps even three boards that might eventually be in this.
Representative Kahn, you've waited very patiently.
Thank you. I think Representative Greenlick's point is good. It may be useful to, from time to time, redirect our attention to the guiding principles. And the one that jumped out at me in this conversation was number three, all Oregonians should have equal access to an affordable level of essential health services, et cetera, et cetera. And I would assume this board would be responsible for making sure that was the case. I would further assume that we're going to use some amount of public dollars to do so. So I was fixed in. I know there are other issues, but I got sort of focused in on the money. And I then went on to think, well, if there's public dollars helping produce the outcome that we're looking for in number three, one role of this board may be one among several, would be to develop some thinking and some rules around what kind of care all Oregonians under this benefit would receive. And I think that's entirely consistent with what Representative Maurer and Senator Morris were saying about the ability to say no. But, you know, perhaps the most useful thing is to try to connect this, as you suggested, Mitch, with the principles.
Could I ask a question here? You said equal access. The thing says all Oregonians should have equal access. I think you're talking, I hope you're talking about universal access here.
Yeah, that's how I read this, yes.
So universal is one of the key things you'd see this, we'll call it a structure doing. Universal access and defining benefits in some way, which means when you define benefits, you are actually saying no.
Absolutely.
At times.
Yeah.
Was there another hand up on the side?
Well, yeah. I hate to go getting off the board track. I'd like to stay with the board for a little bit longer, and because I think the board is going to help define a lot of the meat that needs to happen in this universal system, and there's no way that the bill can address all of the aspects, I think. And so if we start with the board, and I was looking at, and I'm not quite sure how to say this, but I'm feeling that the board needs to be looking at the need. What is the need? And I don't, something like certificate of need aspect, but and does that come from society? Does that come from communities? I mean, but anyway, they need to take into account that the state is a form of communities, and the needs of each community may be a little bit different from each other. And so maybe that comes in defining basic health care, but I do feel that the board needs to take into account communities. I'm not sure.
Senator Morissette.
Okay. I guess what I would like to see, and we saw a little bit of it when Jacqueline Zimmer was here presenting her plan, which we didn't. We spent 10 minutes. We spent practically no time at all on that plan, which I think has some really good ideas. But I think we have to start from the bottom up instead of the top down and take a look at all the existing care providers in the state, all the areas that they provide care in, and take a look at what we have and how do we build upon that. That's our foundation. But they're not going to go away. These are providers that have been there. You know, the clinics, a lot of these clinics are self-supporting in many ways. They rely on volunteers and so on. We can't lose that. Small communities, rural Oregon, where I don't know if we have even looked at rural Oregon seriously. So I think we have to take a look at the services that we have that are going to remain there. The service providers are going to remain. How do we weld them into a larger group? We don't have to reinvent the wheel in many cases. We need to redistribute maybe the resources that we're using. But I think the basic services for people who are not going to be able to afford to pay anything will be from our clinics that we have them all over the state, and we need to enhance our clinics in rural Oregon and give them the support that they need in terms of staffing, and because we're lacking staffing in many of these clinics. So I'd like us to start, well, okay, we're starting from the top down. I'm putting in, you know, a suggestion that we take a look at how we utilize everything that is there and change the configuration and take advantage of what we already have. The reimbursement rates hopefully will change. There will be economies of scale, so to speak. We may get some federal waivers for reimbursement. As some of the states on the East Coast have. I mean, we don't get nearly the reimbursement for Medicare, Medicaid as some of the other states. But I think we just need to take a look at what we have and how they will be put into a new system. And when we start from the top down, we're trying to recreate a system. I say start from the bottom up, or at least meet them halfway and utilize the system that we already have and make it better.
Representative Ken.
I, and respectfully, Senator Morissette, I don't think anyone would suggest that we're going to replace the current service providers with different service providers. I hope certainly that's not the intention of anyone here. What is appealing to me, compelling to me, and I think necessary about the work that goes on here is that look at the system, the logic and architecture of the system from above. And it seems to me that if we get down to that ground level and we look at, try to identify the gaps and fill them in and adjust qualifications here on FPL or services over here and try to add more providers over there, we're not really changing the basic logic and incentives that have created the system we have now and will continue to sort of pervert the system going forward, and we'll be back here again 2 years and 4 years and 6 years trying to do the same thing. So absolutely, the people doing the work now are critical to this. They will be the same people doing the work under a new system, but I think in order to evaluate how that system changes, we do have to take that sort of bird's eye look at the incentives, see how they're structured rightly, wrongly, and try to develop a board, a model, a management system that changes some of those factors.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. Representative Richardson.
Listening to this debate, this discussion, I find that I think that we're heading in the wrong direction. A board is something that kind of administers something that's already in place. It could be called a blue ribbon committee, a commission, and the board has no authority to do what we've been elected to do. So what are we going to do? We've been elected to come here, solve Oregon's problems. We have a system for doing that through committees, subcommittees, work groups, whatever. And we're about to say, let's find X number of people who are going to be able to do what we can't do. Of course, they need to be unbiased. Of course, they need to be very knowledgeable. So how are you going to do that? You know, let's put advocates on the board and see what they come up with. No, let's put providers on the board and see what they come up with. Or let's just put all of them on the board and just see what they come up with, which is going to be nothing because they won't be able to agree on what needs to be done. Ultimately, we have 30 senators and 60 representatives from our districts, and we have those that have been assigned to this committee because there's an interest here, and the committee, whether it's House or yours, and certainly the Senate committee, has been already doing this for a year. You've already seen this. Look at the key people that you had, which could be called a board, at all the meetings during the interim. And they discussed things, and we discussed it, and there's, what about this, and what about this? But nobody wanted to actually get down and say, what is going to be the basic benefits? How are they going to function? How do we have a coalition that's going to have the insurers and the doctors and the hospitals and the advocates and others that they have to kind of get on board with, because any of them could probably kill it, because whatever we do, is if we pass it, it'll be subject to referendum by the people, or maybe we just save the time and we refer it to the people and let them decide on it, you know, through a vote. But we're going to have 51% of Oregon voters that are going to be willing to go along with what we suggest. And so I don't know who's... If you let me choose the board, I'll be okay with it. But if somebody else is going to choose it, you know, I'm not going to be real happy about it. Because we're going to be delegating to them the authority that we have to exercise, because there's tension. My district is a lot different than Mitch's district. But if we both agree to something, now we got a chance at something, because I can go and advocate for my district as to how I've represented them well in this, and he could do the same thing. But I think that we are the board, and if... I mean, not that we're experts.
It's not only our district are different, but they have different needs.
Absolutely. The rural Oregon versus urban and all these other things, you know, there's tension, but that's the system that we're in right now. And we've been elected to come forward and bring in expertise if we've got questions, bring in analysts who've looked at Derrigo or Massachusetts or Georgia or all these various, and they can give us their ideas of what is working or what might work and what wouldn't work. But ultimately, there has to be some group that say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're proposing, and then we get a fiscal on it, and then and we've got to be able to agree, or else it goes nowhere.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Here we are.
Right. We're talking about getting somebody else to do it.
Maybe the use of a board was the wrong word. Maybe the use is, how do you create the structure to do all of this? You have been, absolutely, talking about this for a year. And here we are tonight.
And it's not how do you do it, it's what is that structure?
What is that structure? That's exactly it. Calling it a board, probably strategic mistake. Because I think it conjures up suddenly... people have an image of that. So, what's the structure, and what are we asking those folks that structure to do? And you've defined a lot of it already. I mean, you wanted to assure equal access. You want this structure to be able to define a benefit, to be able to fund it and be certain it's sustainable. You want to get a workforce. Keep thing that Senator Morissette said, and also you want to look at what exists and keep it functional, keep what works and actually use them better. You want to be certain that there's a geographic distribution, that it works in all parts of the state. You're starting to now get at what this board does. I said it again.
The structure.
What this structure would do.
Yeah, I want to keep a board. It's just simpler, however it will be. But I want to expand to make sure that the concept there on limiting utilization and funding, I want to make sure that this board maintains the sustainability of the program. So that's part of what they do. Utilization is critical, funding, defining what the basic benefit, but that's all comes under maintaining sustainability. But also there's the federal aspect. I feel that this board needs to be in touch with the federal government on waivers and submitting waivers, or at least designating what waivers we need, or I'm not sure how that fits in, but definitely needs to be communicating somehow to make sure that we are able to do what we want to do.
We want to have the federal tail. Not to have the federal tail on us, right?
That's right.
That's what we want the board to do.
Representative Greenlick.
Yeah, I was wondering whether we couldn't go back to some of the very specific elements that were in that diagram and start asking very specific questions. For example, one that we could start at is very clear. had to do with pooling resources from a variety of places. Can you go back and talk about specifically what resources we're literally talking about pooling? What, I mean, are we, you know, we had a little bit of that discussion. To what extent does private health insurance money get into that pool? Are we talking about resources for the uninsured, or are we talking about resources for the whole state? And if we're talking about, I mean, I'd like to go to every one of those elements and start asking very, very specific questions. Can we come to agreement? I mean, are we talking about every employer who's buying health insurance taking their money and putting it into this pool? Are we talking about putting Medicaid money into this pool? Not what we have to get waived, but, I mean, literally, what are we talking about? And each of those steps has these kind of questions. I think it would be, I mean, it's just frustrating to talk about everywhere. It would be so much easier to get focus on some of these.
Senator Morris.
Thank you. I think Representative Richardson raises a good point, and it's a classic dilemma of all of the work that we do in this assembly. We create policy by statute, and we create implementation by rule. And I think it's incumbent upon us to be sufficiently specific in policy so that we're not asking the board to do what we can't do. And it gets
to make policy using rules.
Right. And it gets back to Representative Greenleaf. We need to be sufficiently specific but not overly specific so that this board has policy that's predetermined and made by rule and implemented. And that, you know, that's a dilemma that every piece of legislation that we pass out of here, it's that dilemma.
It's that balance.
That balance. It's a balance.
It's so balance.
You want it to, you want a board that, you want a group of people, whether it's a board, a committee, or whatever, to really operationalize the statewide policy that would include a variety of the issues that we function on.
I think that's a major responsibility.
Great.
Yeah, and
what your turn?
Mm-hmm. Senator Morissette and Senator Wesley, I'm sorry.
And we have to put some of those pooled funding on the parking lot for a moment.
Okay. Senator Morissette.
I think we really have to start with what we have around the state. We have to take a look at it. I would like to see a basic map of the state that shows the various organizations that have facilities, the healthcare clinics, many of them staffed by volunteers, and I'd like to see what we already have. I would like to see an overlay that would show where the gaps are, that would identify what we have to do in various kinds of clinics. I'd like to see another overlay that would build upon that program and another overlay and have a visual idea of what it is we're dealing with in terms of healthcare in the state of Oregon. But we're going to use every single component that we have right now. We're not going to get rid of people. We're going to use them. What do we have? Who are the providers? It's interesting that the pharmacists, do we think of pharmacists as providers? They're providers. Yeah, we need pharmacists in rural Oregon, and they're closing their doors. I'm concerned about rural Oregon, basically, how that's going to fare. We're talking about the corridor. Let's take a look at the entire state and look at the services that we have and overlay them and figure out how we're going to better provide services statewide, how we have to combine, how we have to increase the available funds the funds available to pay decent to pay for the kind of care that we expect to be given, which we're not doing right now. So there are a number of components, but we're moving around in the fog at the 10,000, 20,000 foot level, and we don't know where we're going. Let's start at least one part of it on the ground, talking about what we already have and how we can enhance what we have and how we can build upon it. And I'd like to see a schematic, a map that shows that.
Can we put that there as some, I mean, I think what it's kind of like Mitch's question about First, structure first or function? So function first or structure? I think what you're obviously, we will need workforce to carry out what this is. And the question is, do you start with the inventory of what you got, or do you figure out what it is you want to deliver and then figure out what it is you need to do that? I mean, you want people to get medicines in a timely manner.
Okay.
What's the best way to do that? Do you need more pharmacists to do that? More nurse practitioners? How do you do that?
May I respond briefly? I think we start with what we have right now. We start with what we have and enhance what we already have and redefine how services are provided with what we already have and build upon the gaps, build in the gaps that are missing, and we build from the ground up with maybe master plan up there somewhere, but I'm afraid we could spend forever trying to figure out the big picture and never get to the ground and utilize what works. That's what I'm afraid we're going to do.
Inventory of provider of the healthcare workforce and delivery system.
I would take a moment, Senator, to say I agree with exactly what you're saying, but the question tonight for me is what kind of structure can we put in place to start answering those questions, to give you your map, to find out where we're at, how we fill the gaps in. Right now we don't have a logistically logical way of doing that. It's just helter-skelter out there. And if you really want to look at, as an example, rural healthcare, how do we help change the payer mix out there, which is the driver for much of it? How do we get the right people out there, the right kind of delivery for those people? How do we get the right kind of systems out there, all the way from emergency medical systems right on through to a way of getting QEL people from a small rural area into a more metropolitan area for higher care when they need it? And all the things we talk about, what we have right now, no really good statewide system or structure that can make that happen. And that's one problem on the parking lot. There's other problems all over the map.
Let's do an inventory.
It's up there.
That would say that we need the structure that can do an inventory. I would agree.
Yeah,
but we need
do
a structure,
inventory figuring
we need a structure
out
that can do that
there,
inventory.
That we can build upon.
I would agree, but okay. That you have to have a structure to find what the inventory is and to do that
inventory
for you.
Who's going to do that inventory and analyze it?
Well, the various people who provide the COHO can do their part of it. COGS, who provide various healthcare services around the state, can do their part of it. There are a lot of organizations around that do provide healthcare. And what's the definition of a provider? I raised this question the other day, and guess who came to visit me with a bill? The pharmacists want to be considered a provider. We don't even know who the providers are. We haven't defined providers.
I don't mean to be difficult, but let me push on that for a second, because I think it'll get us maybe to where we need to go. So, who actually asks for the information?
Who's the decider?
Who asks for the information, and who do they ask? Who gathers it, and how do we assure that it's a good inventory?
Well, we start with the existing organizations that do provide.
When you said we.
This committee.
So, Rick, get out your pen.
I'm sorry. We're trying to figure out where to start. Who do we ask? Who do we bring in here to tell us what they're doing? Let's bring Cindy Becker in to talk about what her organization provides. Let's talk to 100% Access in Lane County and figure out what they're already doing. That is great. Let's figure out what's going on out there and who these people are who are doing it and then build upon that. I just think we have to start from the ground. Okay, the foundation. We have a foundation of healthcare in Oregon. Let's look at what the foundation is before we start trying to figure out how to change it. I'm talking about rural Oregon particularly.
Senator Morris.
I'm not sure that I am saying something different, but I see it a little bit differently, Senator, and that is I don't think that it's within our purview or ability to change the delivery model, the structure of the market. It is what it is. that's a gargantuan task. What I see us focusing more on is the accountable health plan and how it works. And then you create the best model that you can create that you think will provide the greatest access and the least cost, or not least cost, but at least affordability. And then you test that in the current delivery structures to see, will that work? Will it work in rural Oregon? Rural Oregon is much different. John Day looks much different than does Portland. It's a different market. It's a different delivery system. Will it then work? And so that may then beg the question of, does one model work for the state of Oregon? We may need to think in terms of rural and urban.
Frank, why can't we change the market?
Well, you probably can over time, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
But within the scope of our time and ability to actually change the market and how the players, or the players in the market, I don't know how you do that.
We changed the market for Medicaid. We said, let's move, which we moved from fee-for-service to capitated plans.
And you and I are saying the same thing. But what I heard Senator Morissette saying is that we need to look at the delivery system and fill the gaps. And I don't see... We do, but I don't see that as being critical to the first stages of building this.
Go ahead. Is there
I mean, Ted, all three of your points, and I think this illustrates what Bill's trying to say and Frank's point, and exactly what Mitch said, is we did change the market. We went from for service to managed care. But the point is they were functionally the same assets, same building, same providers, changed the payment structure. So we changed the service delivery, but not, Bill, you know, the assets that are already in place. I mean, what are we going to do? Look, say we've got, oh, my gosh, we've got four rural health clinics within a 25-mile radius. We're going to burn one down and build a new one over in Chiloquin. We're not going to do that. I mean, the assets in place are there, and they have to be utilized, and our job is to maximize those assets in a delivery system. And I like Representative Cannon's word. You know, our job is to craft the architecture that allows that service delivery to go forward in the most efficient way, which gets back to powers, responsibilities, authorities for a body to set the sideboards on the market to achieve what we want and allow markets, as they always will, to operate efficiently. That's what we're all about.
And, you know, I'm going to follow up on what Ben just said, because I was going to say much the same thing. We use the assets that were in place, which you've asked us to do, but we changed, and we didn't change the market from that point of view. We used the same hospitals, the same doctors, the same nurse practitioners as before. But Mitch is also correct. We did change the market from the point of view of some very essential things. We said we're going to use primary care. We're going to use capitated care. We're going to try to limit the amount of hospitalization that's utilized. We tried to say no to certain things by using a prioritized list, just what you've been talking about here, and some of those no's are pretty explicit in the system. Now, as an example, if you have back pain but no neurological loss, you don't get surgery. That's saying a pretty big no to people. Okay? Those things are built into that system. The question is, how do we develop a structure that can do those sort of things? Do you say to yourself, we're going to have a structure that limits things, boom, boom, boom? Or do we say we're going to have a structure that is going to have accountable health plans? They're going to be potentially capitated, and they have to work out which in each plan what they're going to do, and which in whichever community they're working in, they're going to do as far as what they say yes and no to. That's the questions you have to get through this structure. And that structure is very important. I think the function is what we need first, and the structure will follow that function.
T- See, I don't think markets do operate efficiently in the healthcare system. They violate every basic rule of what a market is. Both the complete information, the open ability of buyers and sellers to exchange the product, the uniform products. I mean, it violates every principle of a market. I can imagine us designing a plan that says we will have 2 hospital beds per 1,000 in each region at the absolute maximum, and we won't allow another hospital bed to be built in this area until the population grows to that point. I mean, if that's what you mean by putting a sideboard on a market, then I understand it. But it seems to me healthcare markets don't work efficiently. They're extraordinarily inefficient.
I completely agree that it's not markets. We're walking into the donut shop as consumers, and we're figuring out whether we want the jelly or the chocolate roll.
Exactly.
You know, that's, you know, a purer market. But in terms of incenting behaviors, rewarding behaviors, those markets work very well, unfortunately, in healthcare, and we've incented the wrong behaviors, increased utilization. Those markets, unfortunately, work very well.
Yeah, but the basic nature of those markets are the problem. And rather, I mean, I don't think you can change a fee-for-service incentive system to make it work efficiently, because whatever you build in is going to incent something odd to happen downstream. I mean,
I'm going to take the chair here and go to Senator Mons Anderson, and I will. And I will.
I'm going to get back to what the board does.
Yeah, and I'm going to put my 2 bits in.
The board. I'm seeing like 3 big areas here, and the fourth one I'm not sure we've addressed. But, you know, I want to get back. Basic health care, keeping it sustainable, and all these other things we're talking about, I think can fit under that. The one thing is, have we addressed quality? Should the board be looking at quality? Here we're talking about funding, making sure it's sustainable and you know, the cost, but we also have to make sure that there's quality of care. And that, I don't know, under that probably is evidence-based, you know, practices and things like that. So I want to make sure that we get quality in there.
So I'm hearing that, in essence, you're looking at a legislature that defines policy, says we want the highest quality health care, and then you want someone else to help figure out how that happens or not.
Senator Morris.
Thank you. I think we have to take 2 tracks here. I think we have to take 1 track with really taking a look at who's out there providing services throughout the state and make a very detailed analysis and listing of where they are and what services they're providing, so we know who's there. That's the ground level. That's the foundation that we're going to build on, the existing services. Then we can get up in the clouds and figure out the other part of it. But no, we have to have the superstructure, but we have to have the foundation. We're going to rely on existing services around the state of Oregon. We have to find out where the gaps are, who's going to provide these services. Are we going to include people who we think maybe aren't really providing medical services, but maybe they are? Are we going to include chiropractors? Are we going to include all of those? But we need to do an inventory and where they are.
We've got that. I mean, we've got the inventory, but it's not
okay.
Okay.
Let me just add that we need a visual of that. We need to have maps that we can overlay one over the other to see where these things are, because otherwise we're not talking concrete structures. We need visuals.
Rick, can you be certain to put that on there?
Mitch.
Let's suppose we don't have a board. What do we need a board for?
No.
No, I think, you know, we have a healthcare system now. Where's the board? What board is running our current healthcare system? So if we make little modifications to the current healthcare system, what do we get a board for? I mean, a board follows from something for a board to do. And maybe what we need is a board. Maybe the way to solve the current healthcare system is to give it a board. Okay, let's give it a board. And you can name all its duties, and then we'll see how the healthcare system changes.
I would offer, Mitch, that right now that's exactly what we have. We have a system that is incredibly expensive. Any way you want to measure outcomes, we're 20th to 30th in the world. It's a system that's going to collapse under its own weight financially. We have the people who are paying for this system, business community, screaming at us that we have to change something. We have a third-party billing system, basically, that says there can't be any real market here because somebody else is paying for what I'm getting. One way or the other, somebody else is paying for it. There's no personal responsibility in it. This is a system running amok, and we can wait.
Yeah,
we can wait 4 or 5 years.
I'm saying I'll change it 15 ways if I were the king, and none of them would require a board. I mean, if you want me to tell you how to create a proper healthcare system, and if I had a magic wand and I could do it, I can give you 15 ways. I'd limit hospital utilization. I'd worry about the 90% of our population that has too much healthcare capacity, and not the 10% that have too little. Then I figure out how to deal with those 10%. But I mean, if
so, Mitch, you don't have a magic wand.
Representative Richardson, you know, has just pulled out the work that you did all summer. All year. That has some very specific things in it. It has a whole set of things. And what I think we should be doing is asking, going through 1 through 7 of the structural things, or 1 through 4 or 6 of the structural things, how do we do that? Okay, we want, pick one. Healthcare should emphasize public health and encourage the use of quality service and evidence-based treatment. How are we going to do that? Let's not ask whether a board should do that. The question is, we want to change the healthcare system so we do that? Fine. Set a state statute that says nobody in the state pays for healthcare that's not evidence-based. We did it in Senate Bill. I'm going to forget the name.
And my next question to you is, how do we enforce that?
Okay.
And what are the penalties?
Question.
And what are the penalties if you don't do it?
No, that's a great question. Let's ask those questions.
And who is going to be able to oversee that and make sure it happens?
Oh, well, maybe we do need a board. we could call it the Health Services Commission, say.
An hour and 20 minutes.
I mean, it seems to me these are the questions that we need to be asking today. If we want to have an evidence-based healthcare system, what can we at the state level do to implement that? And what does it look like?
And who defines
it?
Senator Morse. I'm sorry.
No,
Mitch, I mean,
I think we have the bones of a structure that you guys worked for a year to create. Let's put meat on those bones now.
Senator Morse, that's what we're trying to do tonight, by the way.
I agree, Representative Greenleck. Really, the fundamental issue here, where the rubber meets the road, is what does the accountable health plan look like and what does it do? That's where the rubber meets the road. And how does it relate to all of Oregon, rural and urban, to where it actually works? How much flesh should we put on that accountable health plan by statute? And how much should be relegated by rule?
And who defines the rule?
Well, who defines the rule? Well, the rule had darn well better follow the policy that we set by statute.
Yeah, right. But then who would be charged with writing the rule?
Well, the board has to
and enforce it.
Representative Richardson.
He adjusts.
I'm sorry, I thought you had your hand. I'm sorry, I thought you had your hand.
I was just saying, I will sign the rule.
Representative Richardson has volunteered to be a one-man board.
Yeah.
That is how I would do it jointly. Anything we can agree on would be acceptable to the state.
I want to make a point that the next time we meet, which is next Monday night, these two are not allowed to sit next to each other. There's way too much going on down there.
I think that's a good idea.
And I, if you would have told me that, that Representative Richardson and Representative Greenlink would have sat next to her and passed notes back and forth and then made my life miserable, I would have said, you are crazy. But strange things happen in this country.
You know, there's a famous health policy website about health care reform called Strange Bedfellows. So. We'll see.
Representative Cannon.
Well, I'm back to talking about what the board should do. It's according to the proposed here, the visual, it ensures cost transparency, cost reduction, and sets certain coverage standards. It approves the accountable health plans, which I think is very important, and I think certainly worthy of additional conversation about what we say in statute, what the legislature says, to give direction to the board about what is an approvable, accountable health plan, and what isn't. All right. We can, I can continue to stay in this paradigm very happily. I think that we could make some traction, get some traction on that, but.
Committee,
what time do we have?
We have 7 minutes. I'm gonna say something just for a moment if I could. First off, I appreciate the openness of the conversations tonight, and although I don't appreciate you two, but I appreciate the openness of conversation tonight. I think that what we should do in the next meeting is come back to the same topic and pick up where we left off. It is Valentine's, it's late, people are tired. But what I want to do, I think, and I'm going to see if the committee is with me on this, we will walk through those basic principles put out from a year of work and discuss that in the context of what kind of structure would make that happen, what we feel comfortable with for that structure to happen. It may well be what we've outlined. Ben and I in the commission, after looking at those, spending a year on it, having things thought about, came up with that as a basic structure. It is not written in granite. It is on a piece of paper. But I think we need to come back to this now and have a chance to think about it for a few days and have a further discussion about where this is. What's an AHP look like if we want to use those? What's a board look like or some other structure and what it can do? What the relationship between those two are? We had a nice visit last night with some large health plans in the state and some large employers in the state. Their position was maybe that's the way to go. Maybe you call it a management team. Maybe you don't. What's the push and shove between those two entities? Are those the right entities? So let's bring it back on Monday night and go through this again and start that level.
I would like to have Dr. Goldberg summarize what we put there, because a lot of that can be combined and I think fairly simplified form.
Summarize this for to start up the next meeting, summarize all of this very quickly in 2 minutes, and then quickly get into item by item. What does an accountable health plan, what does that look like? How do you define it? And then how do you operationalize it? How do you make it happen? Do we have a king who just tells us what it is? How do you get it from an idea to reality at some point down the road?
In rural Oregon.
In
rural Oregon, too.
Rural Oregon. I guarantee you, we're going to come in first with a... We're going to talk about inventory.
What's anybody like to make tonight?
Yes.
Other than, oh, God. We're that close to getting that. Senator Westland.
No, I just want to say, and most of this is, I think, for our dutiful audience. I mean, it's Valentine's Day. There's 40 people in the room. It's really quite amazing that, you know, this topic is taking us away from places I'm sure we would all rather be. So, A, I am very gratified by the attendance and the attention and the, you know, commitment to this issue by all of you that are with us tonight. And I want to thank the committee for a very robust discussion. I like this format. I think we should continue this format. And I think we need to focus on, you know, figure out, I don't care which one it is, but on the diagram, let's pick, I don't care if it's finance, the board, the AHPs, but let's start picking them off and defining them.
Yes.
And have a topic for the night. And flesh that out as best we can, and then move on to the next one, because we've got a lot of work to do. Thank all of you for coming. Happy
Mr.
Valentine's
Chair,
Day.
I gotta say,
thank you very much.
I gotta say, this is the first time I've been on a committee with two guys named Ben, and it's pretty weird.
And I like him.
Yeah.
He used the best word tonight, architecture.
Thank you very much.
Okay.